Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Bree is here. Bree, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excited.
Me too.
It's weird. It's not usually just me and you at the start of a show.
No, it's not.
But there's a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have an interview today. Joining us to chat about everything from wrestling to being Grammy nominated, Raheem Jarbo, aka Mega Ran, is on the show. Ran, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me, and good that we could finally connect.
Absolutely. It's like we're both at MAGFest constantly, and our paths have never intertwined. And I don't know how that's possible at MAGFest.
Well, I mean, there's a few thousand people in the way at any given time, but I feel like we've been in the same room for sure several times.
Oh, probably the same room party, if nothing else.
Yeah, I think so.
So you just got off a weekend at Comic-Con, correct?
Yes. San Diego Comic-Con, my old friend. Every time I think I'm away from it, something pulls me back. And it gets hard to, and you could probably say the same about MAGFest. It gets hard to, like, you think when you're leading up to it, it gets hard to get excited about something you've done so many times. But as it gets closer and closer, you're like, oh boy, it's here coming. It is. You look it's forward coming to it all year. And Comic-Con's been a different beast for me. This is my, gosh, I mean, I haven't been every year, but it's been 19 years since I've been going to San Diego Comic-Con, which is insane to even think about. Like, the entire second half of my life has been dominated by Comic-Con. And it's been pretty cool. First time I went, 07, I was a guest of Capcom. I put out a Mega Man rap album, which little did I know, I guess the world didn't know that they needed that. And so, yeah, I decided to do that. And Capcom's like, oh my gosh, this is really cool. It's going viral. Can you come to Comic-Con? And I'm like, what? Absolutely, I'll come to Comic-Con. I've been reading about it my whole life and never thinking I'd go, let alone be a part of programming there. And so fast forward throughout the years, I've gone for different reasons. I've done different, what do they call them? These like activations and panels and just, and I've been there in almost every capacity at this point. But this year I was able to set a new, you know, new bucket list thing that I didn't even know I had, which was to submit my own panel and then get that panel accepted and then to present that panel. And that panel was on X-Men 97 and a podcast that I do about it called X-Pod 97. And it was accepted, and we were able to get a bunch of voice actors from the show and producers and fans, and they all gathered and we had an amazing time. So even almost 20 years later, I'm still having new experiences at con, much like I would at a MAGFest. And it's really cool.
I could absolutely see where you're coming from there. I've been to every MAGFest, literally every MAGFest since number one, and I'm still doing new things every year.
How about that?
You still stumble into a new party every year, or you meet some new friends every year, find a new place to eat, a new corner of the arcade room that has a game you haven't seen in a while. There's just always something new.
Always something new.
So what was the panel about? Like, who all did you have involved in this?
Well, we did an X-Men 97 fan experience panel where we were going to just mostly talk about the show, me and my co-host Marcos. But as we started talking about it to other friends, they're like, oh, well, I happen to know one of the actors. Do you think you could ask him? And I'm like, well, sure. And so a few of the guys that have been on our show before, Guy Agostini, who plays Sunspot, have been on the show. And once he, I guess, announced or told his kind of his group chat that he was doing our panel, the rest of the guys were like, oh, I want to do the panel. And so next thing you know, we got Isaac Robinson Smith, the voice of Bishop. We got Zara Fuzzle, the voice of she's the voice of Emma Frost. We got the voice of Havoc, Teddy Sears, who's also been in The Flash. There were so many folks that were interested in joining. And so we got to the point where I almost had to cut it off, where we had like such a full stage where I'm like, all right, guys, like, I hate to say this, but we literally cannot take another guest. Cause I just wanted to make sure that I want to make sure everybody can have, you know, a proper time to speak and not feel like they wasted their time on a panel, you know, where you just like say hello and then it's over. You know, and I've been in those types of panels. So yeah, we wound up with just such an amazing group of people talking about their favorite parts of the show. And then at the end, JP Karliak, the voice of Morph, joined. And I think that was so important because I feel like Morph's so much of the emotional center of the show. So that really gave us a great foundation to build our chat around. And the panel went amazingly well. I'm like, absolutely, like, I was so nervous. You know, it's funny doing something for 20 years and people are like, oh, you've been talking in front of people forever. Like, why is this nerve wracking? And I'm like, well, it just is. Like, this is a new thing for me. And it still feels pretty cool to be an old man and still be able to get new things off the bucket list.
Yeah, that hits hard. That hits home because I'm getting up there. Like, we're not spring chickens anymore. And
nope.
Those special things that you've wanted to accomplish in life, they seem to lose their chance earlier and earlier, it seems. But
yeah, man, I talked to I did a show with Kimya Dawson and it was her birthday. And she's like, I am old, guys, but you know what? Being old is so cool. Like, I just, like, you just didn't know, like, this part of your life would happen. You know what I mean? Like, the idea of getting old, we look at it like it's like, oh, man, it's so sad. You're going to have less of these things. But don't you want to know what you're going to look like, what you're going to act like, where you're going to be, what you're going to be doing for work, what you're going to be doing for fun when you're older, like the new places you're going to get to go. So, like, growing old is really cool. And I have just kind of started to realize that over the last few years, like, because it's a blessing, you know, outside of that part, but it's just really exciting because this is such an unknown chapter in your life. Like, you just don't know.
Yeah. 20 years ago, I never would have seen myself with a wife, an army of cats, a podcast I've been doing for over a decade, tons of friends I've made through it. Tons of friends I've made through MAGFest. I could have never seen that happen all those years ago. And I really don't think I'd want to have it go any other way at this point. I'm really happy with where I am right now.
Look at that. And that's cool. Like, you got a chance to see it, like to see this really awesome phase of your life that you never saw coming. That's exciting.
That's a good topic to bring up with you. You are very well known for your positivity. What makes you such a happy, positive guy?
Well, I've seen enough negative for sure. And that's kind of why I just feel like I want to bring a little bit of light into the world because people have gotten the darkness part pretty down pat.
Yeah.
And so I want to, yeah, I feel like there's so much of that. There's plenty of that. You turn on the TV, you turn on the news, open the newspaper, you're going to see plenty of negative. So I think I've maybe taken it as a challenge. Like, I have people who tell me all the time, like, no one wants to hear that positive stuff, or, oh, this is like something we don't want. You know what I mean? And so that's kind of made me challenge myself to bring positivity because we've always heard like good guys don't win and good news isn't going to be, you know, a headline anywhere and things like that. And maybe there can be too much positivity. I've heard the term toxic positivity and things like that, which sounds crazy to me. But you can't have too much of anything, I suppose. But I just want to give the balance. That's all. And I just feel like there is enough sad in the world that I just want to try to balance it out the best I can.
It's a great message. I mean, I like your comments about aging and you know, getting to that new phase of life. Like that's some positive stuff that I think we can take into today. And we need that positivity, definitely.
I need that positivity. Let's be real. I need that positivity.
Yeah.
Glad to help.
So Bree, you were very excited about this chat because Megaran appeared on an album that you enjoyed recently, correct?
Yeah. I happen to be a really big fan of Bear McCreary, and the Singularity is like permanently in my car as the CD I listen to when I drive. So that was kind of exciting. I went down a little rabbit hole last night doing some research for the interview just to find out more about you and some things that we could talk about. Cause I honestly didn't know about you very much until the Bear McCreary album and Joe here brought some of your other works to my attention. So, I actually listened to some of your podcasts last night, specifically the, Castle Grayskull Radio episode 6.
Nice.
So that was a fun listen last night. But I'm dying to know, what was it like working with Bear McCreary and the Singularity? How much of your writing was involved with the song? Like, tell me more than the internet has shown me.
Oh man, that was so fun. Shout out to Bear. Bear is amazing. We met ironically at San Diego Comic-Con. Yes.
Yeah,
there was I feel like maybe we talked about that, but yeah, like maybe my second or third year going, we just were both randomly connected at Capcom's booth because we were both working with them at the time. And they were running out of time. So they're like, can you guys both just do this interview together? And we're like, sure. And you know, when someone promises you your own time and they're like, hey, can we just like give you half of what we promised you? And you're like, this doesn't sound exciting. And then turns out that we both get along. We were just like, we hit it off. We hung out so many more times since then. And during pandemic, he hits me up about doing a song for the Singularity, which I think came out maybe a few years after. But so, yeah, it was just like a different point of life. So I wrote a song called First Day Out. And it was just about imagining the day after pandemic, like the day after lockdown. And what are you going to do? You're going to see all your friends. You're going to hug. You're going to smile. But leading up to it, it's that scratching the walls and marking the days on the mm-hmm. calendar. And, you know, just the frustration of trying to break through. And it became a little bit more of an emotional song than I typically would write. You know, my stuff kind of since then has been a lot more bright and sparkly. But during the pandemic, man, that was a rough time, you know, especially for me being that, I mean, for everybody, especially creatives. But I feel like I made my living on the stage, you know, talking mm-hmm. to people, high-fiving and, you know, like getting instant feedback. And we tried doing live shows online, on Zoom, on Twitch. And without that instant feedback, man, I just couldn't feel it. I couldn't get into it as much. And there were some times, some dark moments where I felt like, oh no, like, is this over? Like, are hugs and handshakes and high fives over? Like, this is just going to be so sad for me. And all that emotion went into that song. Just like, oh, I can't wait till I see my friends again. And I can't wait till we, you know, do all the things that we put off for so long. You know, on our first day out, we're going to fix it all, you know? And so that was the emotion that went into that song. And I really enjoy writing with Bear because, you know, as an amazing producer, composer, he was able to give me feedback. So he'd come back to me. Normally people ask me to write raps. They're like, we trust you with the subject. Just do your thing. And then, he would give me a draft almost every time I gave him a draft, which was so fun. So I'm like, here you go, draft one. And he's like, okay, well, I'm changing the production to match what you're saying and your inflection here. And so the production starts building and building and, oh, I need more percussion here. I need more guitars here, you know, and I love that. So he'd give it back to me and I say, oh, well, what about if I do this? And so it was truly a collaborative effort.
Awesome.
Yeah, Bear is just a pleasure to work with. We've been talking about doing more stuff together. I saw him this weekend. I saw him and Raya this weekend, and we've talked about hopefully making some more happen. So stay tuned.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's I mean, besides the podcast, it looks like he's also did some production work on a couple of other pieces for you as well. So that was cool to see. Beauty and Creation, I think, was the one that I saw.
Yes, so. Wow, you've gone down the Mega Ran and
Bear
rabbit
hole.
I like
she
this.
She was proud of that.
I appreciate the research. Yeah, I did a track, Beauty and Creation, and it's basically, God, it's a great song to bring up right now because it's kind of become a basis for my creative output almost since then. Like, how awesome it is that we get to create things, you know?
Yeah.
With our hands or with our mind, something that wasn't there before. And so that goes into everything I create now where I'm like, man, how cool is it that we get to put a thing into the world that didn't exist just 30 minutes ago, like this podcast, you know?
Yeah, so
you know, it's like taking it down to that, to such a small level to be like, man, we're able to just put things into the world that we're not there. It's like literally planting a flower everywhere we go. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's such a cool thing and that I don't take lightly. So I try to make sure that, you know, we put our all into everything we make and make sure it's something that we're proud of.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering, did you actually get to see the graphic novel for the Singularity album as well?
Yes. Yes. It's so good. Yeah.
It really is. I was not expecting what I got for First Day Out in the graphic novel. It's so short, first of all, but yeah. It's a really powerful message that I took away. And for the rest of you who don't know what I'm talking about, the graphic novel is just like these multiple lives. It's kind of the concept of the album that this person lives through, going through these different universes. And in this particular life, the woman, she's in chains and she's tired and her captors call her weak and she's tired. She's like, that doesn't make me weak. I've been through more than you know, and that makes me more powerful than you know too. And she breaks out of her chains in this like Super Saiyan moment and she leads the other prisoners to overcome the oppressors. And I just thought that was such a great take on that song too.
Yeah, so, it really was.
Yeah, yeah.
They did a great job with that.
I'm excited. He has another album coming out. So
yeah.
Singularity Eclipsis, I think it's called.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's another one coming. And nice. A tour as well. So, awesome. Yeah. Bear's working hard on so much cool stuff.
So, you've collaborated with a lot of other people. What were some of your favorite collaborations?
Well, I mean, Bear's right at the top of the list for sure. There's another composer named T. Lopes, who... excellent composer. He's done Sonic Mania and so many other things. He did the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge soundtrack. Mm. And man, we worked together on the ending credits theme called It's a Pizza Party. And that was like total bucket list to be a part of the Turtles universe. Man, I've been loving Turtles my whole life. And the game is just excellent. Perfect throwback to the old style Turtles in Time beat 'em ups. And yeah, to have the ending credits song, like the last thing you hear when you beat the game, is an absolute honor. So I love collaborating. I'm an only child, so I feel like maybe I just kind of make up for that by working with a bunch of friends, you know.
That's a good take, yeah.
Yeah, so I really, really love collaborating. Another one of my favorites, we've done a couple of things together, is Will Roget, who's most recently composed Helldivers. But prior to that, he did Mortal Kombat 1, and we did a track for that. That is one of my favorites. And I've been a fan of
Will. He came on the show a couple months ago. He came on to hang out with us.
Nice, nice. Another mag
party with Mag.
Yes, another Mag fam cat who is just a great hang all around. We got to hang out at the Grammys as well, which was really cool. And he introduced me to so many of his really awesome friends that are still friends today. So that's the sign of a good guy.
Yeah, Will is good peoples. Someone else I know that you collaborate with awesome who is good peoples is our good friend Mustin, who says hi, yes. By the way.
Oh my gosh. Hello, Mustin. Yeah. Oh man, I used to sleep at his house when we would tour through his area, and always had a great time. Just a genius producer. He's done a ton of records with me, and the One Ups, his band, are legends in the VGM scene. Yeah, man, just one of my favorites to collab with for sure. Thanks for mentioning him. Shout out to Mustin.
Yeah, I love Mustin. He's easily one of the best people I've met in my life. There was a time you mentioned how you got to crash at his place during concerts. I went to drive to Fayetteville to see a concert and then drive back to, I was in Wiener, Arkansas at the time. Yes, the town was Wiener. So northeast to northwest, back to northeast. My car broke down on the way there. Mustin let me crash at his place for 2 weeks while the alternator was fixed and replaced.
Nice.
That's a friend to just let you chill for that long. That's a good dude. Yeah. He is a good dude.
He is, because, you know, I'm sure you're a great guy, but
not really.
I don't know if I would do that.
I think I'm an okay guy. I'm on a list of decent, I would say.
Okay. So I have a question that's going to sound at first a little off, but it is weirdly related to some things we were just talking about. So in the podcast, you were talking about how you met Bear and how that was the early days of dating your now wife. I have to know, did you have a traditional wedding or did you have some nerdy elements in there? I recently got married, had video game music as part of the ceremony, but otherwise it was fairly traditional. Joe had the one-ups at his wedding.
Yeah, they played the whole show.
I'm
nice.
Curious.
No, nothing nerdy at all. No. I was, and that was, that's intentional. I feel like my entire life is super nerdy. And
fair.
Just for that day, we're like, why can't we just be a little traditional? And there were people who come up like, oh, I bet you're going to have the Mega Man theme when you come down the aisle. And I'm like, absolutely not. No, we're going to a church. We're doing the old fashioned way. You know, that literally my entire life, like, everything else I do, you know, is involves video games, video game music, wrestling, comic book culture, pop culture, something. And so that day was a welcome, you know, respite
from
that life. So I am, we were okay with being a little traditional for that.
Yeah. My husband and I met through video games. So that was kind of like our little, we got piano covers so that the rest of the audience who didn't know what was going on, like they didn't know about that stuff, could just hear some nice piano covers and think that it was nice wedding music, but it was, you know, Killer Instinct and Mass Effect and Kingdom Hearts and Sea Thieves and stuff. So it was just all piano covers. So it was nice.
You cheated and took like the classy way to do it. I just had a funk band play Toe Jam and Earl. And then you had to pay $1 to dance to the Tetris theme to dance with my wife and get your cake.
There you go.
We nerded it up at mine. It was fun.
Yeah.
You have a new nickname as of recent, and that is Grammy nominee. What is going on there? Tell us the story behind your nomination.
Pretty insane. I released an album after, first of all, becoming a parent, a foster than parent. It inspired me to just write different types of music. So I started writing a kids album, and it was received pretty well. And so our second album was then nominated for a Grammy for Best Children's Album. It's called Buddy's Magic Treehouse. And I still can't believe it to this day. Even when I say it, it sounds wild and crazy. But yes, I am officially a Grammy nominee, which sounds nuts. But like at the same time, like I feel so good about what we created. I think it's an excellent album, and it's done more than I ever could have imagined for me, like as far as taking me to new places and people enjoying it. I am now a Grammy nominee, which is nuts, you know? So, we did not win this year, but that just means we got to do it again. We'll be back. We'll be back to bring it home.
Hell yeah.
And you were up against a couple of names I know. Did you like listen to the other nominees' music, or did you just sit happy with the acknowledgement of your job well done? Like,
yeah, I listened to them all. Of course, I did. I do my research. I am a student. Okay. The best teachers are the best students. So,
well, Yeah, I was going to say you used to be a teacher. How was the pivot from that to full-time music? Because I hear you are the king of the pivot.
I would call myself the king of the pivot. I feel like I love moving into new things. I feel like if you're familiar with Street Fighter 2, Ryu, his ending, when you win the game with Ryu, he kind of like walks away from the ceremony. He's not even there to receive his like trophy. He's gone. And they're like, where did Ryu go? And he's walking off the beaten path. And then he gets to a mountain and he's just uppercutting the mountain. He's training for the next challenge, you know? And that's me. Just uppercutting the mountain, looking to get better, sharper, and to move forward, you know? And so that's always me. I just want to always find the next challenge. And so children's music has been the next challenge for me. And it has really invigorated me in my creative output. So I'm very, very pleased at where it's been able to take me. And I guess where it will continue to in the future.
Nice. Now, did you have a victory speech written out, or were you going to just shoot from the heart if you got the victory?
I was going to wing it. Actually, it was, the people kept asking me, did you write a speech? Did you write a speech? I'm like, no. I started jotting some things down about three categories before mine was going to be read. So while we were sitting there, I was like, oh, you know, I definitely don't want to forget my mom. I don't want to forget my teacher who made me better, you know? So I wrote down a couple of names just so that I wouldn't like forget them. But I felt like it was going to be bad luck to write a speech. I don't know.
Is that a thing in the industry that writing speeches is bad luck?
No, I don't think so. I just didn't want to jinx it. You know, I'm always thinking like, oh, you know, when you make that move, I don't know. It's preparation. So it seems silly that I would say like preparing is, you know, bad luck. But in my mind, yeah, I felt like, oh, if I start, and I think it was, you know what? I know what it really is as I'm saying it. I didn't want to fully immerse myself in the possibility that I could lose, you know? And I think having that talk would have made me really think about, well, what if you don't win, you know? And so I never allowed myself to get wrapped up in that moment until after I didn't win. Which sounds weird, I guess, but I didn't want to think about, what are you going to do when you win? Oh man, you're going to be a Grammy winner. Oh, it's blah, blah, blah. So I just didn't want to get myself fully emotionally wrapped up in the possibility that I could lose, you know?
Yeah.
Like the disappointment of that. And so I wasn't ready to handle what would have been surely a really sad moment for me. And so I just didn't let myself get wrapped up.
Did you find it easier to cope with not winning? I don't know if that would be the right word.
Yeah, I feel like I never got emotionally high or emotionally low, which I think is good. I just enjoyed the moment. I think just staying centered and grounded is the best way for me to cope. You know, I didn't want to be inconsolably sobbing, whether I won or lost, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think I just had to keep my emotions centered.
Hey, Bree, what other questions do you have before things shift gears?
I have a lot of things I'd like to ask, but one of them is about being a dad. So bear with me here. I want to ask what some of your earliest video game memories are. Like, what were some of your first platforms or some of the first games you remember playing?
Well, I was an Atari 2600 guy initially. Yeah. That was the first time I really played home stuff. So that was Pac-Man, Yara's Revenge, Pitfall, games like that. Then moving on to the NES, Super Mario, of course, Zelda, Castlevania. But Mega Man, I mean, obviously, Mega Man is the game that moved me. It was the music. It was the gameplay. I feel like a lot of the Capcom games for sure like attracted me. So DuckTales.
Yes.
Man, there was Chip and Dale. Like we would rent all these games every week. And they always had really fun music and great gameplay. And so I would record myself playing these games on my VCR. Just so I could come back to them. And then after that, I would get a handheld recorder and record like the OSTs by just sitting it right next to the TV. And then I would take that cassette and put it in my Walkman and go to school listening to it. So I was hooked on video game music at a really, really early age. And there was definitely the music that attracted me to a lot of these video games. But yeah, like Mega Man, Castlevania, then later on Sonic the Hedgehog. But yeah, if it had a great soundtrack, I was all about it.
So how did your experiences as a young gamer change or influence how you are as a parent with video game content? Like, what were some of your is it your son?
Yeah.
What were some of his early games? And are you concerned as a parent about the content he consumes? That's where my question was kind of leading.
Okay. Well, he is 4. So now, games aren't really a huge thing for him.
Not huge.
No, he picks up, maybe because I don't play around him a lot, because
fair.
I feel like there's some things maybe he shouldn't see. So, but I do love retro gaming. And when I try to get him into it, he's not always into it. He likes Mario, but his thing is he likes to jump into the pit like immediately. Look at that. He says, rah! You know, he loves the Mario screaming in peril. And he really likes the Untitled Goose Game, which is, you know, open world, kind of do whatever you want type of game. So he enjoys games like that. I'll certainly be aware of what he's consuming. But yeah, I feel like he's got to start with the classics, kind of like I did. So
I like to
get him started on those games. And I mean, I won't force him into anything at all. But games are certainly a big part of our household. So so I usually find games that he enjoys. He likes dinosaurs. He likes fire trucks and construction vehicles. So there aren't a lot of games that are around those things. But when I do find something, he really enjoys it.
Nice. I got one more thing on here. A friend of mine showed me a picture of a USB stick branded with your name and MC Lars. How old is that?
Wow, that was 2017. It must be a book-shaped thing from an album we did called the Dewey Decibel System.
Ooh.
I thought that was catchy. We did, we did a ton of songs about our favorite literature. And awesome. That was a really, really fun project. We've been talking about doing a sequel to that. With my education and English background, Lars is also an English lit major. So we both love books and we love to write songs about them. So that was a really fun moment to be able to write a bunch of tracks about some classic literature. We did The Mask of the Red Death. We did, what else did we do? Waiting for Godot. We did Gulliver's Travels and 1984 and so many more.
Nice. All right. Very next cool. question. Have you played the Final Fantasy VII remasters yet?
Oh, of course. I love them.
Do they hold up to the image of the original or add to it? Like, are you happy with your memories of the original versus this? Or
somehow they've managed to like exceed my expectations. Like, graphically, especially, you know, like we were dealing with these very, I guess, crude kind of pre-rendered backgrounds of stuff. So you couldn't, I mean, I thought it was great for the time, but to be able to tilt the joystick and look up and see that you're under the plate and see the full scale and scope of this world you're in, it's just another level. You know, there's sometimes where I'm walking around the game and I just stop and look up. You know what I mean? Like, I just, it's such a beautiful game. And I really love the fact that it feels open world even when it isn't, because the world, you just get an idea of how big the world is. And they weren't able to really capture that on the older games. So I think they've nailed that. I do feel like maybe I love Remake, Rebirth, the second one, I didn't love as much. I feel like they were kind of dragging out those second and third discs a little bit.
Yeah, so it was a middle. I've been watching someone streaming it. It's definitely a middle.
It's a middle. You know, there's some points where I'm like, I just got to get through this. And there's some times where they'll just slow you down with some questionable, and like level decisions. We're like, you must talk to everyone in the town and play a game with them before you can leave. And it's like, come on. Like, why do I need to do this? You know, so there's some moments like that where we're just like, come on, guys. I understand you needed to put another hour into this game, but not like this. Like, even I'd rather just like dungeons and fights or something than just kind of
want the game to respect your time.
Yeah. You know, so there's some moments where I wish there was a fast forward button, but other than that, I mean, graphics, story, I love the fact they're taking some liberties and moving some things around and making some things different. So yeah, I am overall very pleased with the game and I can't wait for Revelation. I'm so stoked. Nice.
So I know that FF7 is one of your favorites, but like, what makes it special for you?
Well, I mean, I think for me, it was, I think, but they say that when something comes out that's truly game changing, a technological advance has to happen at the same time. And that was like Michael Jackson with music videos, you know? And so therefore we'll forever be connected because the music video became a moment with Michael Jackson. And with this, it was 3D role playing. And so we're like, oh, that the system can actually handle full 3D graphics and showing you like a bigger world. And so you're getting these great characters, but you can also see detail in them and their facial expressions and their, you know, conversation. And so that is what did it for me. I loved probably every Final Fantasy game. And just recently, Final Fantasy II hit a, in the US, hit a, like a milestone. I guess it was like 30 years or something. And and I'm like, I remember renting this. Like, so I've loved pretty much every Final Fantasy. And whenever there's a technological advance, that's why I think 6 and 7 are so special.
Oh, because
they hit at a time when they started doing things in role-playing games that we had never seen before. And so it wasn't just great writing and great characters, but also graphical advances that added the cherry on top to both of those games, especially.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, and I think, oh, go ahead, Joe.
I was gonna say, if we're talking Final Fantasy VI real quick, I gotta know, have you heard Mustin's new album for Final Fantasy VI?
Not yet. Oh my gosh, he did a
it's a good one. Just came out last week.
Yeah, it's a character treatise of each of the characters. It's really good.
And oh god, it's mad.
Yeah,
I'm going to listen to it right now
because it's very good.
Wow.
Yeah, excellent. It was a really good album. I one more thing before Joe definitely gets to the questions he wants to ask. It's not even a question. I found that you did the Fervor Famicom album. You did the song Dream Master, and I absolutely loved it, partly because it's one of my favorite NES games, but also just I loved the story in that. So deep cut there, but that was fun in my rabbit hole last night. So nice.
Oh man, Dream Master for Little Nemo, one of my favorite games of all time. Another Capcom game. Awesome soundtrack. Really difficult. Oh my gosh, I tried to play recently even and I'm like struggling with it. I love the story. I hadn't read the books, but I went back later to the books and there's a movie about Slumberland and all that stuff.
Yes.
And just generally a story about a kid with a vivid imagination, you know, became me, you know what I'm saying? And so I was really able to kind of put myself into that story and tell my own story. And that's a tough song for me to initially write. The first time I wrote it, I remember sitting down with my friend Kay Murdoch, who helped me with that beat, and getting emotional, just writing about like just tough, traumatizing moments from childhood and how you kind of got to fight through them to become the person you are and just keep dreaming and keep pushing. And that game just gave a great message. I mean, maybe not the like give candy to animals and then you can befriend them. That part's a weird message. But the imagination of it all was just so cool. And I named my memoir Dream Master
because that's awesome.
Of that game and that story and that song being so important to me. So that is it's like the story of my life. So that is the quintessential song. If someone says, what's the essential Mega Ran song? I think it's Dream Master because gives you the entire story of me.
Awesome.
That's very cool. All right, Bree, anything else?
I mean, I can ask more questions if we have more time. I know you want to talk about some other stuff, so I'll give you the floor. Yeah. The ring, if it were, as it were. Yeah.
Yes. It's not often I get to do this. Ran, we got to talk some wrestling. How was Redemption? Did you enjoy the show?
Great show. AEW doesn't typically miss with pay-per-views, but I had a really, I don't know, interesting take. I don't think this was a top two pay-per-view of anything that I've seen from them, but even an okay pay-per-view from AEW is a banger. And so that was kind of how it felt. It felt like, you know, some lead in, you know, like let's build up to All In, which is going to happen next month. So I understand exactly why it happened. And I think it was very necessary. So overall, I really loved the show. Man, there were some moments. There's some incredible moments. There's some like, what's going on moments. But overall, a super, super solid show top to bottom.
You're a music fan, so I gotta know, what were your thoughts on Kevin Knight's new theme? I did not like it. I thought it was too slow for his character.
I did not. I didn't like it. Yeah, it's too slow. I watched it on stream. I watched the main event on stream, and I definitely commented that. Like, it's too slow for a guy like him who's upbeat.
Yeah.
He's got swagger. He's too, even if he is a heel. Like, you can slow down Swerve because he's a, you know, a brooding kind of character, you know.
Methodical.
Yeah, he's methodical. He's thinking hard about how he's going to make you pay. But Kevin Knight is way too flamboyant, too fly, too flashy for some slow plotting music. So I understand you got to, you know, switch up for the heels, but I was not a fan of that music. And I understand there were two pieces of music that got some complaints during the show. Andrade's as well.
I didn't mind his as much. I like his original theme, but I think this one could grow on me.
Yeah, it can grow on. There's just not a ton of super standout themes right now in AEW. I think that's the classics, of course, that still kind of hit. But it is risky to switch up music. And there will be some times where you're like, eh, I like it, but I didn't love it, you know. So overall, though, I really I love what they're doing. Shout out to Mikey Ruckus. But yeah, sometimes you don't need to make a change. So I wonder if this is like the Kevin Knight thing will wind up like kind of coming back a little bit.
What was it like working with Mikey Ruckus? Because you worked together for Shelton, correct?
Yes, yes. We've worked together prior to that, too. They made a really cool project called Who We Are. And they did for Black History Month a few years back. And they had some like musicians write like original songs for like are inspired by different wrestlers. And the song we did
that
then.
One. That's right.
Yeah, the song we did then that was inspired by Scorpio Sky wound up being his entrance for a while. It was a track I really liked. But Mikey's great, man. Such a professional. I love the detail that he puts into like finding the right people for the job, you know, the production being hands-on, things like that. So yeah, when I did Shelton's theme, it was MVP who actually made the connection. He Ruckus sent the song to Shelton. Shelton played it around MVP. MVP said, man, this sounds like some Final Fantasy type music. You know, you just need like the right rapper on there. And Shelton was like, well, I don't know any rappers. And he's like, well, actually, I know a guy. And then so MVP connected me with Shelton. And that was fun because Shelton's a nerd. He's just like us. And so when I asked Shelton, like, what would you want to hear in your song? He said, well, I would really love some references to Tekken because I love Tekken. And I said, really? And he's like, yeah. My guy is Heihachi. And Heihachi has this line where he says, I'll snap you like a twig. And I said, oh, okay. I like that. So I put that in the song for him, you know? So that was a really cool thing to be able to put something in that he actually wanted and asked for. So that was super cool.
That's very awesome. Was it different?
I also like,
go ahead.
Sorry, I also like working with Mikey because he's given me a lot more autonomy to like be creative in the moment. You know, I've worked for other companies for making theme songs. And a lot of times it's like paint by numbers, you know, where it's like, you got to fill in this amount of space with a thing. And in fact, why don't we just tell you what to say here? You know? Yeah. And so it can get, you can lose a little bit of the creative fun process working with other companies. But I think with what I did with Mikey and AEW, I've always felt like I've had, you know, control over what I was creating.
I'm going to guess you're referring to the King Woods theme.
Well, you could guess that. I'll let you guess that.
So you have connections within the wrestling industry. You are routinely hanging around with the wrestlers. Who are some of the coolest guys, and who do you think you can convince to go to MAGFest?
Oh, man. Well, Xavier Woods has already been. He loves it. He knows it's great. Kenny Omega, I'm sure I could convince. He would love it. Adam Cole, the nicest guy in the world. I know he would have a blast there. Who else? Shelton, I think, would have a great time there too.
Everyone says Nyla has talked about going.
Absolutely. Nyla would have a blast. And I believe she's from the area, from Baltimore.
I would love to meet her there. She seems like she would be incredible to party with.
She's so fun. I've hung out a couple of times. I think she went to BlurredCon, which was another event that happened in the DMV area. And yeah, she's so much fun. So she would have a blast there. Pretty much the whole AEW roster. I think they'd all have fun there.
I keep telling Big Adam to get, you know, find some way to get AEW people involved with MAGFest somehow. Like, see if you could get some charity stuff. He's like, all I do is run charity. Yeah, see if you could use connections, get like a signed Jeff Jarrett guitar or something. Or
yeah, I think there is.
I think you'd AEW find plenty of people.
Yeah, they're very much into charities. I mean, they're doing a whole show for Rebel in her ALS fight. So
I was very excited to see them doing that show and that she'll be there.
Yeah, that's so cool. So, I just saw a really good tweet. Somebody was like, well, let's not forget that AEW has always been, you know, on the front line when it comes to like supporting important causes, you know, there's Fight for the Fallen and so many other things that they've been involved in. And it's really cool to see a wrestling company being like out there for good causes.
In recent years, I have found myself so much more drawn to AEW than to the WWE and their product. And it feels, the more I talk to other people, the more the sentiment is starting to feel the same everywhere, and that people are enjoying the AEW is doing something different. They're doing their own thing and they're not paying attention to the TKO side of things, where TKO is counter programming. They're trying to block things from happening. And it just seems like they're annoying people with trying to be number one. And I kind of like rooting for the underdog with the better product.
Yeah, seriously. It's definitely been a more fun watch when it comes to AEW versus what WWE is doing. I missed Raw last night and then I saw a couple of highlights and I'm like, this doesn't seem like I missed much, you know? So yeah, it's definitely AEW, I think, is cooking right now. They're really, really firing on all cylinders and I'm loving the product right now.
I missed Raw last night because a friend missed Redemption and wanted to catch it. And I'm like, I will absolutely rewatch Redemption over Raw. And we watched the whole pay-per-view again last night.
Love it.
And it was still good.
Nice.
So if you had a dream to compose a theme song for any wrestler, who would it be? Living, dead, any wrestler.
Any wrestler. Oh, man. Okay. Ooh, this is a tough one. I mean, let me think hard about this. Any wrestler, living or dead. Okay. All right. Ooh. This is tough.
I got a good one. I got you thinking. All right. Sweet.
Okay. Okay. I got it. The Macho Man, Randy Savage.
That's right.
Ooh, yeah.
As much as I liked WCW, I think his last one, it was like, what up, Mach? And then the beat would drop. I think I could top that.
I mean, you've done a number of wrestling albums. Are there any themes that you haven't tackled that are on the drawing board or on a future pegboard for lineups?
MJF, I haven't tackled yet. Kenny Omega, I did his New Japan theme. I haven't done the Battle Cry. I also would love to do John Cena, but I feel like it's too obvious. So I haven't touched that one. If I did, I'd probably make it a song or something. Like I'd say,
do John like Cena's, but only rap about things that are invisible.
Nah.
Like, don't rap about John Cena. Just like see through glass. The air.
That's actually a great idea.
Water. Fishbowl.
I think you got it. Yeah. That's it. Fishbowl.
I have horrible ideas.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible. Maybe I could make it work.
Oh, man. Well, I know we've been chatting for quite a while. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't bring up?
Well, I don't know when this is hitting, you know, the airwaves, but I'm doing a little bit of touring first week of August with MC Chris. I'll be on the West Coast right after Lollapalooza. So
yeah, what are the dates? Get the info out there.
Okay, well, definitely got to get the dates out. So let me take a look. It's August 4th. Portland, Oregon, August 5th, Seattle, August 6th, Eugene, the 7th, Redding, California, the 8th, San Francisco. Also on the 8th, I'm going to be playing at the San Jose Discovery Museum, doing a daytime show for the kids. And then the 9th, California Extreme, which is a really fun show that the Megas are also playing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So I'll see you there. You can get tickets for those at megaran.com/shows.
And you are always on tour. It seems like every time I see you, you are promoting your newest tour. Any East Coast plans coming?
Yes. Can't announce them yet, but they're happening this fall.
I will be talking about it soon.
So yes, it's happening.
To keep an eye out if something comes around near my area. Mm-hmm. Bree, any other questions on your end?
I was going to say, you've got a lot of albums out there. I threw a lot of things. You've got a Stranger Things album, Overwatch, Transformers, Star Wars stuff, Castlevania, AEW. What other fandoms are you a part of that you'd like to put your musical spin on?
Wow. I'm really loving X-Men 97. We do a podcast about it. So maybe at some point a little album will take place about X-Men, maybe in the X-Men universe. I'm also working on a Star Wars album that will kind of celebrate 50 years of the franchise. So that's going to come out next year. I don't know. And then I'm going to build my own universes. You know, my albums, Buddy's Magic Toy Box and Treehouse will probably lead to a third in the trilogy, but nice. I don't know what that would be. So, you know, stay tuned, I guess.
All right. And, go ahead, Joe.
Where can people stay tuned?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm on all the socials at MegaRan, mostly Instagram. It's Mega_Ran. It looks like Meg Ryan if you're like looking really quickly and not being careful, but it's not Meg Ryan. It's Mega Ran.
Oh, beautiful.
Nice. So yeah, I had one last topic. I wanted to get to, but it's a little bit maybe deeper. So let me ask this other question first. What new games are you looking forward to, or what games on your backlog do you want to get to next?
Oh, well, I just finished 007.
All right. And
that was a really fun experience. I just started this game called, gosh, what is it? It's a kind of simple name, but it's like a Mega Man like Gravity Circuit. That's what it's called.
Okay.
This game is so fun. It's a 8-bit kind of side scrolling Mega Man X meets like Bionic Commando type game. Really, really fun. And I just found it, got it for cheap, and I'm looking forward to jumping into that. As far as new games, I mean, there's just really Grand Theft Auto 6, and that's it. Like, that will be the day that everything else shuts down, so I can jump into that and play. But but if outside of that, it's Final Fantasy FF7 Revelation, which I don't think is coming out till the end of this year. So I'm really, or maybe it's next year. I forget. But I'm really, really excited about the next FF7 installment.
Yeah. All right. So my last question is about gatekeeping. Did you run into a lot of gatekeeping in your life? Did you witness it for others? And if so, how did you handle it?
Gatekeeping. That's definitely something I'm very, passionate about. And so, yeah, I feel like in the beginning there was some of that. And I think you just kind of fight through it. And figure, like, I went from not knowing what, say, nerdcore was to, like, people kind of lumping me in with it and connecting me with it when I didn't know anyone who had done it. And so then sometimes when I would meet some of the leaders in nerdcore at that time, they're like, you're new here. You know, you get that kind of vibe. And it felt like some sort of a mean girls club. And the same with children's music. I thought was going to happen where I was like, oh, you're moving into this space where people have been making kids music for years. There's been a, there's been a Raffy and all these other people, for a really long time. Like, who do you think you are? But it wasn't like that at all, man. People were very, very accommodating and welcoming and comforting about like seeing someone, with some, experience maybe in other worlds coming to them. So there's an organization called the Children's Music Network, and they asked me to do like a keynote talk. And I was just like, what? They're like, yeah, talk about how, bringing children's music, bringing hip hop to children's music has been for you and things like that. And maybe how your experiences have helped to shape your, your output. And so I was really, really surprised because, I almost expected the gatekeeping to come where people are like, no, you can't be a part of this world, But yeah, I think you just push through, man. You keep creating and I think you just show people that you're in it to stay, And I think that it can be. And I don't want to justify it in any way, but I think for some people, they get a little defensive about people popping up, in their world that maybe aren't as interested in staying long. I'll just say that. You know what I mean? And so maybe it's happened before, so they get a little sore about the possibility. But when you show people that you are willing to do the appropriate research, make the appropriate connections, give the proper respect to the people who've done it before you, then you'll find that you'll have a much easier time in those worlds. So basically it's just do your homework, I would say, but right, you can't stop people that are just going to be mean for no reason. But I think if you come at it from a place of like educated, like absolute real interest and genuine, respect and reverence for something, people kind of, they can't turn that away. They can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel.
All right.
Nice.
Good positive attitude.
Bree, ask another question. My cats are acting up. I gotta go check on them.
I am all out of questions. Let me think on that.
Well, let me ask you a question. What are you looking forward to, in the video game world in the future?
I'm looking to my backlog, honestly. And that's, I do reviews on this podcast. And so a lot of my time, my precious time, for gaming gets into the review aspect and not necessarily what I want to sit and play. So, I end up with a backlog of things. Mm-hmm. So like right now I'm really looking for Chorecore, is my relaxing time. So I like to play like House Flipper. I got a new DLC for that. Nice. So I'm looking forward to being able to relax with that. I'm also looking at retro stuff. My husband and I just we just got married in April, and we got a Retrobit console so that we can play NES and SNES carts. And I'm nice. Starting to build my collection of carts. I'm not going to go crazy like I did before, but I got Marble Madness and Little Nemo the Dream Master are the first two NES carts I picked up. Nice. So I'm excited to get that some time to sit and do some retro play, go through the SNES collection and see what games we want to add to that. So, yeah.
Nice. Very cool. Very cool. Marble Madness is great.
Yes.
Fun challenge. So, yeah, you got some great ones.
Oh, yeah.
I am back. That's the issues that happen when you have a herd of cats. Way too many of them. I have 14 cats, Ran.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey. Okay.
Yep, yep. I have a wife, though, so I'm not that crazy.
Collectively, maybe.
Collectively, we are insane. Ran, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show chatting with us. You already told people where they could keep up to date with you and what you're doing. You mentioned your tour dates. Where can people get Buddy's album?
You can get Buddy's albums. Actually, there is a really, really great site that has the vinyl, which is extremely pretty. It's the prettiest vinyl that I've ever seen. You can go to needlejuicerecords.com, all one word, needle juice. And they have cassettes, vinyls, CDs of all of the Buddy's records. And they're cassettes? so pretty. So yes, please grab all those because they're going fast. So check them out.
That is awesome. I love that people are doing cassettes again.
Yeah, they're coming back.
Get your pencils ready so you could wind the tape back up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right. Everyone, we are going to take a quick break. We will be back with more show. We've got more stuff to take care of. Ran, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on joining the show. This has been a long time coming. We got to do it again sometime. Welcome back anytime. And let's watch wrestling together sometime, too. I think that'd be fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, we will certainly do that.
Mega Ran, do you have any final words to end the interview?
Well, enjoy the things you enjoy, and everything else will work out.
And before there was ever any random, there was a boy in the hood who always did good, so the bullies of the block couldn't stand him. And on Christmas and birthdays he got mad presents, so many he didn't know what to play with. He had Transformers, He-Man, Ninja Turtles, Star Wars, but the G.I. Joes was his favorite. He was so creative that if they didn't make the toy he liked, decided to create it. He put Storm Shadow's legs on Snake Eyes' body till they popped, and then he duct taped it. He made spaceships while the big kids hung out on the block playing hide and seek and riding bikes. They used to try to get involved, but they told him, get lost. And that's when they started getting high at night. Then I heard he made a friend who was as nerdy as him. When he had all that he could withstand, he collected comics and cards, studied, knew the whole Star Wars script like the back of his hand. And in school he made A's and B's, and teachers complimented his amazing feats. And all the while he wondered, if I'm so amazing, geez, how come nobody won't play with me? School, that would be a colossal understatement. He had high water pants, coke bottle frames, and a mouth full of orthodontic braces. First girlfriend was named Christina Perez. He took her everywhere. Now the boy's so cool, but she dated him on a dare and left him standing there without a clue. Man, kids could be so cruel. Just when people couldn't like the boy any less, around the same time, shorty got an NES. cause his mama felt this was the best way to keep him out of the streets, although they was penniless. Only child, so she didn't want an empty nest. And it's a healthier addiction than cigarettes. And so it began. How did he escape the scene? He sat in front of that screen and chased his dreams. Gained a couple beers and sucked up game like a vacuum. Went off to college and sought some knowledge in to fill up the heart to make rap tunes. Vowed to stay true when he dropped his debut and did so, this got his little name up. And there was money in the bank, but money drew a blank every time the second LP came up. So he thought back to childhood and how he survived in such a wild hood. Then he realized they didn't hate him, and whatever didn't break him, that's what made him. So he decided to combine his love for the games and rap, open his soul up and let him in. Then he chopped up some 8-bit sounds, put it down. Now Random is now known as Mega Ram. Now his name's all over that internet. Girls who didn't care are now interested. And the best part of the story comes at the end, but that part hasn't been written yet.
Oh, welcome back, everyone. Thanks for sticking around. Another huge thanks to Mega Ran for coming on and chatting with us. How the hell did we pull that off?
That was super fun. I don't know, but it was super fun. Full of positive
vibes.
All you
have to do is just like ask, and then things can happen. It's magical.
Well, I mean, that was some of his message, right? Like, you just got to put yourself out there and keep at your craft and you never know what'll come of it. So, yeah.
Let's hope it pays off for us with a couple listeners. Maybe they'll hit the subscribe or the follow button and stick around for a little bit. By the way, if you are not following us on Twitch, we do giveaways when we do our Twitch shows. You should hang out and chat because we're always giving stuff away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a little bit more show we got to take care of. I don't know if Aki's going to pop up or not, but Bree, you got a game to talk about. Should we knock that out?
I do. Let's do it.
Or do you want to banter a bit first?
I mean, we could banter. What do we want to banter about?
Oh, what'd you play this weekend?
What did I play this weekend? I played a ton of AI booby games.
I'm so sorry.
I know you're disappointed in me, but I got a bunch
Sakura.
Of... I got a bunch of beautiful Sakura for free or cheap, and I finally decided to knock them all out. They've been sitting in my backlog for a little while. I've gotten them as like channel point redemptions and things, and just generally, I was concerned. My husband has been creeping up on my gamer score, and we are number 2 and 3 in the state for gamer score, and I didn't want him to overtake me. We have these cute shirts that are player 1 and player 2. And I'd like to keep my title as player 1 in the household. So I went on a little gamer spree. I also played some other visual novels that I have backlog and just, you know, yeah.
I love it. What the fuck?
yeah. So I got like 40,000 this weekend. I also played some Sea of Thieves with the crew. They had they call it the Golden Glory Weekend. It's like double XP, double money for everything that you do. And we are working on this really long achievement for getting the guild to level 10, essentially, or level 9, or whatever. It's this really long, grindy achievement if you're a small guild of just a handful of active people. It's taken us a couple years, I think, to get to this point where we're really close to the end. So we were just like taking advantage of the double XP to grind that out. So that was fun.
Nice.
But also work. Yeah. What about you?
I 1K'd a game this weekend.
All right. Which one?
Yeah. Beatdown City Survivors.
Nice.
I remember we had a chat about that game a few weeks ago with Sean Alexander Allen. Yes. Or was it Sean Allen Alexander?
I don't remember now. Shit. I feel bad. Yeah.
Sean AA of New Challenger.
Yes.
Yeah, 95 achievements and I got them all.
Nice. Nice. I know there was some conversation about putting some new modes into that. Did they update the game to make like some of that a little easier?
A hard body mode where if you pick it and go into the modifiers and enable it, you get double health and enemies do half damage. So if people were worried about not being able to beat this game, you can beat this game. You just need to be patient. Find yourself a good character. Once you unlock Pancake, they are amazing to use because they're a cat that moves quick, has a lot of rerolls, and a very high dodge percentage.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So I got another topic to banter about.
Let's hear it.
What is going on with Xbox right now? This is two times now in the last almost week that they've had major outages. The first one was an Azure outage, which was not necessarily their fault, but all day yesterday.
What was it, like 20 hours or something?
What was that, Monday? It was out for like 16 hours, yeah. So
the weird thing is I had no problems.
You didn't? I did.
It was like localized. They were even saying that because of what it is and because of which servers it's on, it was explaining why only some things would be acting up, but others weren't, and why one page would be active, but another wouldn't be, because certain publishers were on certain servers against others.
Mm-hmm.
It seems very confusing and like it should be streamlined.
Yeah, it's a licensing service that sits outside of Xbox, but that they depend upon started to fail, causing...
Yeah, that shouldn't be a thing at all.
Yeah, yeah. Library, including some disc games, I think people were having an issue playing. And that was not good. Not at all. I actually got a message that they added as a pop-up because I tried to load a game around, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And it came up with a message like, we know that there's an outage and we're working on it. Actually the latest update for the dashboard of the Xbox has now an outage thing that will pop up on the home screen.
Yeah, when there's an outage, which is a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean I'm glad that they're trying to keep their customers informed better, but that's too many outages in a short period of time.
That is.
For me. So that's a little frustrating. And especially since they just had
Sony
all these layoffs.
Theirs as well.
Oh, I know, right? But, you know, you think layoffs and you think like, okay, so it's there to fix these problems when they come up. Is there
the
like an overstep there?
Fix it.
Yeah.
All the humans that were there to fix the problems are no longer there.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. I love this timeline.
Yeah. So I know Purnell's not here, but board game chat.
Ooh, it's board game chat.
I found this thing on Facebook and decided to order it because they gave a 50% off coupon for your first time ordering. And it's like a detective mystery escape room concept that you play at home. And got it for Indri and I to do for date night. And it was super fun. I hate that it's a subscription model for their purchasing, but apparently you can get like other games that they've done previously if they have like leftovers, and they're going to be doing like a storefront at like Target or something. But it's called Finders Seekers, and they do these different mysteries in different locations, and you get like case files and these puzzles. You have to figure out words, and then you go to the website and type in like the keywords. If you've solved the puzzle, and it's like, congratulations, but it gives you like cool history lessons in a like small little bite. So it's not feeling like overwhelming, but it was pretty fun. Like a nice little board game. They even had, you could use a QR code and they'd get like recipes and cocktail drink, recipes and stuff to go with your theme evening and music and that sort of thing. So that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Just different kind of game.
I wish I had friends to play board games.
Aww.
Womp womp.
Aww.
Yeah, I think Aki's dead.
Yeah, I hope not, but yeah.
Should we get to that game?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, one game to talk about this episode is High Times, developed and published by Yang Yang Mobile, released July 23rd, Xbox, Play Anywhere, Switch, PS5, PC for $19.99. In a world where you can literally eat your feelings, you work at the Hot Box, a special donut shop where every donut is infused with mood enhancers that could change your customers' emotions. But people don't always know what they need. So from flavors that give them courage to ones that lift their spirits, it's up to you to choose the right mood and help each troubled customer listen to their stories, offer advice in the form of donuts, and help mend broken relationships. Brie, does this get high marks from you?
It does. So
are you
going to
weed out any of the bad ideas and jokes in there?
No, I'm just going to just let you run with that. So,
High Times, Joe, just go touch grass.
Oh, those are good. Those are
right.
High marks. Yeah, indeed. All right. So High Times is a visual novel dating simulator about making donuts and enhancing people's mood. As the name of the developer would suggest, this was previously a mobile game. Being a mobile game means you tap or hold your finger on the screen or wiggle your finger to color in things and the like, and that initially didn't always translate well to the controller. There has been an update to the game in the last week since I started playing this that has actually improved that a little. So kudos to them for taking user suggestions and updating things, but just keep in mind that some of that still is a little cumbersome at times. There was no arrow to move around the menu in a way that I would have expected, but they have added a little more tutorial to that. Again, when I first wrote my notes about this, that was pre this update. So if you had played it when the game first launched and found a struggle, go take another look at this because they have updated the UI a little as well. So this game immediately launches you into a visual novel conversation. You even get to start the game that I guess serves as a kind of tutorial for what kind of game this will be. But it was a little confusing at first. It's very cute, though. You work in a donut shop called The Hot Box. You make donuts designed to make your customers feel better. And you get to make your character's body type and dress along with a personal name. Gender assignment is unnecessary. You can be a male in a dress or a femme body in a suit. You do what's up to you. I went with the goth option and Lady M because it seemed appropriate. And then I started my shift. The art reminds me of like 80s comic books with the pop paper filter. It's got bright neons and pinks and speech bubbles and choice points are splashed on the screen. It's delightful. Very, very fitting for the theme of the game. And when each customer comes in, you have a little conversation. There's often a splash page for characters, like a comic book splash page, the first time that you're going to see them, introducing them. And like in the case of your best friend, I think his name is Connor. I could be wrong. It's been a minute since I played this. The customer will give you a little bit of their story and what's going on with the stoner that just lost their girlfriend and needs a pick-me-up. And then you select the best donut to match what they need. He just needed the classic high, which is a vanilla frosted donut. There's also a rainbow high, which is the classic vanilla frosted donut with sprinkles on it. And you have a lot of creative play you can do with your ingredients, which is super fun. You'll then get to go behind the counter screen with a little mini game setup. You'll have to roll out the dough, cut the donut into the right shape, put it in the fryer, wait for the oil to cook up right before you take it out, and then decorate it appropriately. And that was where it was challenging the first time I did this. There was very little instructions. Again, since my notes here, they have upgraded that. There are it's still a little cumbersome. Sometimes you have to hold the A button, sometimes you have to tap. Figuring out how to sprinkle things or put toppings on was a little challenging at first. You have to use the D-pad to kind of move around in the mini game menu. But yeah, you basically, you hold the, you pull your donut out and you get like a little donut plate that you decorate on, and you have to hold the button and your cursor and move it around to frost the donut. So it's a very tactile experience. It's actually pretty fun once you know what you're doing. And then figuring out how to move to the different ingredients could still use a little more tutorial, in my opinion. But I figured it out. In addition to the donut making customer experience segments, you get little conversations on your phone with friends to deal with. You have Face Nook posts to read and respond to, and other apps you can mess with, like the music station and your expanding recipe book. And actually on Face Nook, it was really cute. One of their other games called The Letter, a horror visual, which I think they produced on consoles with East Asia Soft, was represented in there as well, like a little, you know, billboard kind of thing that they throw in as like, hey, look, it's our other game. And that was fun because I've played that and that was actually pretty fun, except for like one mini game that was kind of annoying. So I see this as an expansion on that work as far as a visual novel goes. This is a lot more tactile things to do, dealing with people's emotions, you know, figuring out what best to serve them. And you actually have like your recipe book is really helpful. It has buzzwords like about emotions that you can kind of decipher what might be the best. And you don't have all the recipes at once. You learn them as you go. And some of them are based on conversations you have with like your ex-boyfriend and other customers that come in. The music was pretty fun. There was partial voice acting for the customers that come in, which was really nice. I particularly liked the regular stoner character. Like the voice acting on that was really fun. The game is split into days and chapters. So you have several days in each of the six chapters. You'll make money based on how good you do at paying attention to the needs and wants of your customers. If you screw up an order, there's a trash can. Or you may end up having to refund people if you aren't paying attention. You're doing this to make money, after all. So you want to pay attention as much as you can. And while you're doing it, you're building relationships with people based on how good your advice is and your ability to pay attention to these people's needs. And it really felt like your choices matter, as well as how good you do at making the donuts. So take pride in your work when you can. And I mentioned, like, there's the recipe book is actually, you can filter by donut type, toppings, taste, flavor, and moods. Still trying to figure out what donut keeps the vibe going could be a challenge if you're not sure what they're going for based on the text. You unlock more donut types. You can purchase them in Amazon app once you get Amazon. That unlocked. Yeah. You get all kinds of donuts and toppings that give you the opportunity to really express yourself. And you can get, you know, like chocolate frosting and strawberry frosting and blueberry frosting and nuts and sprinkles and you know, fruit and all that. Piping bags. You can make a cinnamon roll that has no cinnamon was hurt in the making of that cinnamon roll, but it's a cinnamon roll donut. So yeah, to sum up, controls were a little fiddly at times, but they have improved that. If you had seen this game when it first came out or heard anything about it, they have since improved it. There seemed to be an autosave and a manual save, and specifically you can do them at the end of your chapters. And I will say that the loop of the game got a little repetitive after a while. I still had a lot of fun with this, but the story kind of felt like it dragged on a little longer than it needed to in some spaces. So, yeah.
All right. Now, any other comments, or should we talk price on this one?
I think we should talk price.
It is a $20 game. What are your thoughts on High Times at $20? Is it a high price?
I think actually, if you like visual novels, it's a good price. There's a lot of content to this one. There are multiple endings, and it's a good amount of content. If you're a fan of something like Coffee Talk, you might enjoy this. It's got similar concept where you're dealing with customers and their moods and their emotions, and trying to feed them the best food that you can. And if you've never played a visual novel before, this is weirdly accessible. It didn't feel like I was reading all at once. It was very conversational. The character models moved. The music was fun. The topics were fairly light for being about emotions and things like, you know, losing your girlfriend and whatever. But it was still fairly lighthearted. And the balance of time you spend in the mini game for making donuts was really good in comparison to dealing with the customers and those conversations. So I think initially I had thought the price might be a little high, but now that they have updated the game and the achievements work and all that stuff, I think this is actually a good amount of content for this price. And if you're new to visual novels or you're something that's kind of lighthearted, I think this is easily a try it. Maybe even leaning toward a buy it. The price still gives me a tiny bit of hesitation, but overall I really like this one.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Sounds like a good game for a good interview on a good episode of a shitty podcast.
Oh.
You know I had to fuck it up somewhere, right?
Oh.
Aww.
I hate it.
That is it for this episode. No Aki, no Purnell, no Chris, so it's just us, and we did what we got to do, and that's the end.
Well, I had fun. I had a lot of fun, and hopefully we get to have more fun in the future doing stuff like this. Teak, you were making it hard for me to talk into the microphone.
Yeah, it was great having Ran on. It was really fun chat, really cool guy.
Yes, it was.
Catch him on tour, catch his music, do what you got to do to hear and support this man. Music this episode, should I get ballsy and play the Bear McCreary song?
I don't know. That's up to you. I don't know the rules of those things very well because I YouTube and I don't platform outside of Twitch, so I don't know the rules, man.
Basically, if it gives me a strike before I upload it, I delete it and it doesn't matter. And then I put a different song on.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
So it might get to the point where it's like, you can't put ads on your video. And I'm like, guess what? I don't anyway, because I fucking hate ads.
Yeah.
So, first day out?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great song.
First day out. Any final words?
No, man. Just that was a really great interview, and I hope everybody who's listening, if you're new here, give us another shot and listen to what we got, because I think the best is yet to come.
The best was probably this episode. So, and then the Mustin one was pretty good, and then Ball Squad a couple years ago. Probably the top three.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah. We got more in us, I think. I do.
We're up to 16 good ones.
Yeah. Uh-huh. First day out. Can't wait. Yeah. Been locked down so long, I lost track of the days. Threw my calendar away as I sit back in the days. Making marks on the wall and going out of my mind. I tried to take any route I could find. No escape, I'm guilty to proving innocent. Trying to do my due diligence, but sitting in a cage and make you militant. When ain't nobody listening, screaming, but it sounds like I'm whispering. Now apathetic, a result of my conditioning. Can't stop thinking about my first day out. When I break out and how it's all gonna shake out. Will my job phase out?
Hyperlinks grayed out, and when I get out, will I be smart enough to stay out? Man, I try not to dwell on it, questioning all my relevance. A side effect of arrested development. Everything's irrelevant but self-preservation with no reservations. I keep praying it's the moment I'm awaiting. The feeling I've been chasing, the feeling of escaping, the nights I spent pacing, the chains I dream of breaking. I see the gates raising, I push with no hesitation. Liberation I've been craving, amazing, my first day out. Can't wait till they open up the gates. Yeah, come on. Can't wait till they see my face. Yeah, without a doubt, on my first day out. Can't wait till they open up the gates. Come on, can't wait till they see my face. Without a doubt, it's going down on my first day out. Few hours tick down, I watch the hands on the clock inch down. Way too nervous, can't even sit down. Walking, putting holes in the floor, wondering how much I recognize and the surprises that are in store. Almost expecting some sort of technicality or a minor formality to bring me back to this harsh reality. I'm counting each second, exhaling on each, checking and looking for each lesson. The end of my depression awaits. Once I'm out of this place, I'm gone without any trace. I see my family outside of the gates. They wave, I wave back, but something seems a bit off. I waited what seems like forever to escape these brick walls. The sirens to my surprise, open my eyes, the moment arrived. Cross every T and I died in my eyes. Held on through all of the grit and the grind, that victory's mine. They thought that I'd be eaten by the demon, but I'm sweetened by the thought of freedom. Like the fruit in Eden, time to carpe diem. My eyes are blinded by the sunlight, peaceful like the aftermath of gunfights. You only get one life, don't forget now. I'm about to make the most of it and make those who doubt of me throw a fit till it's over with. My first day out, can't wait till they open up the gates. Yeah, come on, can't wait till they see my face. Yeah, without a doubt, on my first day out, can't wait till they open up the gates. Come on, can't wait till they see my face. Without a doubt, it's going down on my first day out. Can't wait till they open up the gates. Can't wait to escape my first day out. Can't wait till they see my face. Yeah, without a doubt on my first day out. Can't wait till they open up the gates. In the game, I watch everything change on my first day out. Can't wait till they see my face. Without a doubt, it's going down on my first day out.